Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
As coronavirus infections surge, the government ramps up testing across the South.
The Trump administration gives notice to the UN saying it's quitting the World Health Organization.
And the White House takes aim at Hong Kong with a push to undermine the city's currency.
Long Island begins phase four of reopening today. Plus, President Trump pushes for schools to reopen in the fall. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Ryder Cup has been postponed, and another net won't be part of the NBA restart.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 7 points. Dow futures up 35. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is little change this morning. So is the FTSE 100. The CAC in Paris is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.64%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 4 cents at $40.58. A barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2 at $18.1190 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we're seeing daily coronavirus infections across the country slow a bit. Yesterday saw cases rise by the same rate as last week, though increases in the South remain stronger. Dan Gelber is mayor of Miami Beach.
This is real, and I think everybody needs to understand that, because if they did, they would know what to do. They would wear masks. They would socially distance themselves. They would take precautions that every doctor I know tells them they should take.
Florida's positive test rate jumped above 16%. That's the highest level on record. In Texas, new cases hit 10,000 for the first time, and Arizona recorded the most deaths since the outbreak began. That has Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego worried about hospital capacity.
We are worried that the system that is already in crisis will only get more crowded.
For the fourth straight day, new infections in the U.S. topped 50,000. That has the federal government ramping up testing in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. Officials will open 8 new testing sites to get a firmer grasp on how the pandemic is evolving.
Officials at the White House are speaking out on the pandemic. Members of the Trump administration talked to Bloomberg Radio about the outbreak, including response coordinator Deborah Burke. She's praising governors who mandate masks in their states.
I want to really applaud the governors who've taken decisive action to really mandate masks, increase social distancing, close bars.
The praise from Dr. Burks comes despite President Trump's resistance to masks. She says action on the local level has the power to change the course of the pandemic.
At the same time, the outbreak has exposed U.S. reliance on overseas drug manufacturing. Health Secretary Alex Azar tells us the president is considering decisive action to change that.
So it might mean that we have to use our powers under the Defense Production Act or otherwise to fund and incentivize domestic manufacturing.
The U.S. drug industry is largely dependent on overseas manufacturers, especially China. Under the Defense Production Act, the president could order businesses to prioritize federal needs.
When it comes to the outbreak in the South, the chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence is ruling out another lockdown.
We can make sure that America stays open and stays healthy. And I think that one of the things we've learned through this is there's also an enormous health consequence to shutting down the economy, whether or not that's a financial pain or whether or not that's a psychological pain.
Mark Shore tells us the White House wants another stimulus package by early August, but it also wants to keep the cost below $1 trillion.
I think we want to make sure that that people that are still unemployed are hurting or protected, but at the same time, we want to take into consideration the fact the economy is bouncing back and want to try to contain the amount of spending.
The White House wants the package to include a payroll tax cut, tax incentives for business, and a one-time bonus for Americans returning to work.
Meantime, the administration's frustration with the World Health Organization and its handling of the virus is coming to a head. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, with total infections in the U.S. approaching 3 million, the White House says it's withdrawing from the WHO. It delivered a required one-year notice to the United Nations General's Secretary General. President Trump has said the WHO has a pro-China bias. The withdrawal notice was met with criticism by Lamar Alexander, Republican chairman of the Senate Health Committee. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The White House is also taking aim at Hong Kong to punish China for its new national security law in the city. Sources tell us advisors want to undermine the Hong Kong dollar's peg to the U.S. dollar. We get more from Bloomberg national security reporter Bill Ferries.
There are some senior officials on Mike Pompeo's Secretary of State staff who are putting forward a range of options that would be pretty disruptive and pretty extreme by historical accounts. Now, it's still a question about whether this will get to the president's desk or whether Pompeo will accept them and end up in some sort of a debate with other cabinet members about whether to go through with them.
And the main proposal being considered would limit the ability of banks in Hong Kong to buy U.S. dollars. However, some in the administration worry that would only hurt Hong Kong banks in the U.S., not China.
And on the corporate front, Facebook has wrapped up its meeting with civil rights organizations. It did not go well. Here with details is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The coalition of NAACP, Color of Change, and the Anti-Defamation League say they are very disappointed. Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, says nothing from Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg.
They talked about the neutrality of the platforms, but you can't be neutral on extremism or hate. We expect the company to have a zero-tolerance policy on intolerance, just like every other company in America. And today, that's not what we have.
A group says Facebook approached the meeting as a PR exercise. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 19, NASDAQ futures up 26, the euro at 1.1281 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.55. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Now let's get more on what's happening around the world, including the local response to the coronavirus. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Long Island enters phase four of reopening today from the coronavirus lockdown. It means more tourist attractions can open. However, Nassau County Executive Laura Curran says that 15 to 25% of the county's positive test results over the past 3 weeks are people from out of state. New Jersey's virus transmission rate rose again to 1.05. According to Governor Phil Murphy's office, it's the highest in about 10 weeks. The rate was 1.03 on Monday, the first time since mid-March it had a rate where each case is causing at least one other new infection. President Trump launched an all-out effort pressing state and local officials to reopen schools this fall, arguing that some are keeping schools closed not because of the risks from the coronavirus, but for political reasons.
We're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools, to get them open.
However, the president of the nation's largest education union said Trump is more interested in scoring points for the November election than in keeping students safe. Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, says he is confident that he will swiftly recover from the novel coronavirus thanks to treatment with hydroxychloroquine. The anti-malaria drug has not been proven effective against COVID-19. Bolsonaro said he tested positive for the virus. President Trump is hosting Mexico's president at the White House during a socially distanced dinner featuring business executives from both countries. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from Washington.
The Wednesday night event will be the closest thing to a state dinner that can be organized during the COVID-19 pandemic. Sources tell Bloomberg News guests will include some 20 executives representing a variety of industries to mark the launch of the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade pact replacing NAFTA. Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador will attend the dinner. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will not. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Joe Biden won yesterday's Democratic presidential primary in New Jersey. New Jersey Democrats picked educator Amy Kennedy to challenge Republican Representative Jeff Van Drew in November. Van Drew switched parties from Democrat to the GOP during his term. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bernard Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver not blind to what's going on with the coronavirus, admits the more cases he hears about, the more worried he is about the NBA's plan to restart the season in Orlando. The Nets among the 22 teams who will be there by tomorrow, but who's left to play for Brooklyn? No Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. Three players who were starting when the season was stopped are out. Wilson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, and now Spencer Dinwiddie, who is having an all-star caliber season. He tested positive for the virus. He hasn't recovered. Doctors advised him not to play. The Nets will battle Orlando and Washington for two playoff spots. The Wizards won't have their best player, Bradley Beal. He's got a shoulder injury. Aaron Judge had a rib injury. He says not anymore.
I'm game ready. Like I told you guys in spring training, I was going to be ready for opening day. So now I'm feeling good. I'm not really, you know, the biggest thing now is just getting the reps in, you know, because I missed so many at-bats in the spring training we had. I didn't get all the reps in the outfield, reps on the bases. So for me right now, it's just about getting my timing back in the game and just getting my game reps so we can, you know, go out there for the 60 games. The
Yankees had an intra-squad game yesterday. Gerrit Cole pitched well. They're going to have three exhibition games, two versus the Mets. And speaking of the Yanks playing the Mets in 2021, when fans will presumably be back, there'll be a Met-Yankee game at Citi Field on September 11th, 20 years after. Latest sports event to be canceled, the Ryder Cup, which loses a lot without fans. It was to be in September in Wisconsin, so instead, next year, same week, same site. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, European soccer clubs expect to lose $4.5 billion in revenue over the next year because of the pandemic. That's according to a study by the European Club Association. The outbreak has affected broadcasting deals around the world and forced games to be played with few or no fans in stadiums. That's hurting club revenue. S&P futures higher by 4 points. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures up 26 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden, accountants and advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are little changed this morning as investors weigh prospects for the economy to recover during the pandemic. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 2 points, Dow futures down 45, NASDAQ futures are up 6, the DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.64%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 12 cents at $40.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.80 at $18.1170 an ounce. The euro 1.1274 against the dollar, British pound 1.2515, and the yen 107.58. And today we're watching for a report on consumer credit out at 3 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Hospitals being pushed to the brink fighting the coronavirus outbreak. A new model from the University of Washington warns 200,000 Americans could die from coronavirus before Christmas. So far, more than 130,000 people in the U.S. have died from COVID-19. It comes as President Trump is launching an all-out effort to open schools in the fall. We're learning that Chief Justice John Roberts was hospitalized last month for an injury he suffered to his forehead after falling while walking for exercise. Supreme Court spokeswoman Kathy Arberg says Roberts' doctors believe the fall was due to lightheadedness caused by dehydration and have ruled out a seizure. The injury required sutures. Mary Kay Letourneau, the Seattle teacher who was convicted of raping her 12-year-old student and later marrying him in the 90s, has died of cancer at the age of 58. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. James Bevan is with us now, Chief Investment Officer at CCLA Investment Management. Good to have you with us this morning, James, as we track the markets and weigh the prospects of an economic recovery. What is your outlook for equities going forward?
I am surprisingly positive. I accept that the consensus believes that markets are somewhat overbought. And also back in February, the S&P stood as on a forward price earnings multiple of 19 times. Everybody was said it was due a fall. With the earnings collapse, of course, the forward price earnings multiple is now over 21 times. No surprise, therefore, that people believe that it's due a significant correction. In contrast, however, I do believe that the combined actions of central banks and government mean that we will have very low money rates and extremely low bond yields for an extended period. And therefore, the fair valuation of equities is much higher. I mean, frankly, I would rather have a multiple of the bond yield available for equities, and I get growth in there for nothing. So to me, I am still pro-equity and very cautious on the bond market.
What does the support that we're getting from central banks and the fiscal side do to inflation expectations?
I think that this year is going to be a year of relative disinflation, if not outright deflation. But I think further out there will be an inflationary shock for two reasons. First, it's abundantly clear that central banks would like inflation to rise in order to address the very high levels of indebtedness that are building in the global economy. Secondly, I think from a policy perspective, they are very keen to have a period of above-average inflation to address the challenge that we have had below-average inflation for a very long time. So on that basis, I absolutely believe that inflation is heading higher. Therefore, we need to be focused on companies that have some control of their cost base as well as the price at which they sell. And we certainly, therefore, need to be very, very wary of assets whose returns are nominal rather than real. In other words, they're likely to be eroded by inflation.
So what sectors are you looking at specifically?
Well, I look at companies in two different ways. One is I look at companies that are likely to do well in an environment of rising inflation, such as construction, mining, paper, and real estate. I'm equally interested in companies that have returns that are at least linked to inflation, but with rather different characteristics. So, for example, some utilities, companies such as Schindler, Power Assets, National Grid, and indeed utilities in Canada, I think, are very interesting right now.
I'm curious to get your take on this Bloomberg News report this morning that the U.S. government is considering undermining Hong Kong's dollar peg to the U.S. dollar as a way to go after China. Do you think that's a realistic possibility?
I would observe two issues. One is that the Hong Kong economy is under considerable pressure. I think the probability that the peg breaks in due course is inevitable. Secondly, I absolutely anticipate that Mr. Trump wants to raise the ante in what is now a Cold War between the U.S. and China. And the economic violence that the U.S. can drive is substantial, and Hong Kong is the obvious start point in that it doesn't directly affect the wherewithal of the U.S. consumer. For example, if the U.S. said, right, all goods from China and are going to be subject to a very substantially higher tariff. Actually, that's really bad news for the U.S. household that wants to buy cheap Chinese goods being imported.
Do you think that the market is still vulnerable to ongoing trade tensions between the U.S. and China?
Yes, I absolutely do, because there has been an expectation that we will get decent corporate earnings growth. So the street, as you will be aware, is expecting between $120 and $125 for the S&P 500 this year, rising to $164 odd next year. And that is substantially predicated on the premise that companies globally will be able to make money and take advantage of the benefits of globalization. And I would say that there is a real risk that globalization is unraveled, that we end up with more bilateral agreements, we end up with some tariffs and controls, all of which undermines that growth. Now, if we don't get decent earnings growth, then the valuations of equity markets today look very stretched indeed.
James, thank you for this. Good talking with you this morning. James Bevan is Chief Investment Officer at CCLA Investment Management. Right now, mixed action in the futures markets. S&P futures are lower by 2 points. Dow futures down 50. NASDAQ futures higher by 3 points right now. European equities moving lower. The DAX in Germany down 0.5%. The CAC in Paris lower by 1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield on the 10-year note, 0.64%, just shy of 0.65. And the two-year yield is at 0.15%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg 1130 weather. Low clouds and fog give way to partial sunshine today. Could have a showery storm as we go up to the low 80s. We'll be in the upper 80s by tomorrow. 75, mostly cloudy in the city of New York.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. S&P futures are lower this morning as we see daily coronavirus infections across the country slow a bit. Yesterday saw cases rise by the same rate as last week, though increases in the South remain stronger. Miami Beach Mayor Dan Galber is frustrated by his state's response.
I sort of feel like everybody's become the mayor in Jaws, where, you know, it's fine, the water's fine, just go on and swim. And that's not healthy right now because people need to know the challenge so they know what to do about it.
Florida's positive test rate jumped above 16%, the highest level on record. In Texas, new cases hit 10,000 for the first time, and Arizona recorded the most deaths since the outbreak began. Kate Gallego is the mayor of Phoenix.
It has been so hard to see the numbers skyrocket and know that if we'd done things like not allow crowded nightclubs, we could have saved lives.
For the fourth straight day, new infections in the U.S. topped 50,000, and that has the federal government ramping up testing in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. Officials will open 8 new testing sites to get a firmer grasp on how the pandemic is evolving.
Meantime, the administration's frustration with the World Health Organization and its handling of the virus is coming to a head. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Karen, the White House has given notice to the UN that it plans to exit the WHO. President Trump has said the organization shows undue deference to China. Critics say the move is aimed at distracting voters from his failure to control the virus. Among those opposed to the move, the head of the Senate Health Committee, Republican Lamar Alexander. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And the White House is also taking aim at Hong Kong. Sources tell us advisors want to undermine the Hong Kong dollar's peg to the U.S. dollar, but traders are doubtful the threat will materialize. And we get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
One trader called it a wacky idea, one that has been spectacularly unsuccessful in the past, and the Hong Kong dollar has been steady all day at the strong end of its trading range. The idea is that breaking the peg would punish China for imposing a national security law on Hong Kong. But it wouldn't be easy, and there are several reasons why the market is yawning at the idea. Hong Kong has nearly $500 billion of reserves, and there's something like $5 trillion U.S. dollars deposited in Hong Kong banks. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. S&P futures are little changed now. Dow futures down 35 and NASDAQ futures up about 8. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.64%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Now let's get more on what is happening around the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Long Island enters phase 4, reopening today from the coronavirus lockdown. It means more tourist attractions can open, including museums and aquariums. Malls will remain closed. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran says that 15% to 25% of the county's positive test results over the past 3 weeks are people from out of state. New Jersey's virus transmission rate rose again to 1.05. According to Governor Phil Murphy's office, it is the highest in about 10 weeks. The rate was 1.03 on Monday, the first time since mid-March it had a rate where each case is causing at least one other new infection. President Donald Trump is pressing state and local officials to reopen schools this fall, arguing that some are keeping schools closed for political reasons.
It's very important. It's very important for our country. It's very important for the well-being of the student and the parents. So we're going to be putting a lot of pressure on open your schools in the fall.
The White House's roundtable gathered health and education leaders from across the nation who said schools and colleges are ready to open this fall and can do so safely. They argued students need access to meal programs and mental and behavioral health services. San Francisco Mayor London Breed has announced a new pause in reopening. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The reopening of dine-in restaurants has been widely anticipated in the city that likes to laud its culinary expertise.
On July 13th, we will not be able to allow restaurants to operate indoors as we had planned, nor will we be able to allow bars to open outdoors.
Breed says they will continually analyze the numbers, though. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's niece, Mary Trump, offers a scathing portrayal of her uncle in a new book. Trump's estranged niece paints a portrait of a man trained in deception with a distant and dysfunctional father. She also accuses the president of cheating on his SATs. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany rejected the book's claims.
It's ridiculous, absurd allegations that have absolute no bearing in truth. Have yet to see the book, but it is a book of falsehoods.
Other members of the Trump family had attempted to prevent the book's publication, citing a non-disclosure agreement she signed during a dispute over her grandfather's will. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Yesterday was a day of sports figures criticized for statements and messages. DeSean Jackson of the Philadelphia Eagles made anti-Semitic posts, later said they were taken the wrong way, but former NBA players Steven Jackson, no relation, supported him. Longtime umpire Joe West claimed that coronavirus death totals are inaccurate. And Kelly Loeffler, who owns the WNBA team in Atlanta, is against players having Black Lives Matter on their uniforms. She wants the American flag. The Players Association wants her removed from the league. The San Francisco Giants, the latest baseball team to have to halt workouts because they haven't gotten back COVID tests. Baseball now seeking an additional medical lab to speed up results, the one they're using now. The tests have to go to Utah. While some baseball players have chosen not to play this shortened season, Mets slugger Pete Alonso hardly among them.
I'm so amped up, and I'm so excited to play. And I know that not only us and the organization is excited to play, but I know that there's a ton of people around the country, around the world, that are excited to have baseball back. And it's awesome.
Mets and Yankees going to play exhibition games July 18th and 19th, and it's been reported that next season, on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, there'll be a Met-Yankee game at Citi Field. The Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie, was having an all-star caliber season, averaging 21 points a game, but he's got the virus, and he won't be part of the NBA restart. The third Net to have to opt out. The Ryder Cup has been postponed until 2021. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:37 on Wall Street and time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Deutsche Bank will pay New York's banking regulator $150 million for a string of compliance lapses. They include a half decade of lax oversight of the financial dealings of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Barnes Group, a Bristol, Connecticut-based manufacturer, is laying off about 400 employees. The company blames market uncertainty and a downturn in business due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Barnes manufactures commercial aerospace, transportation, automation, and healthcare components. Well, if New Jersey voters approve recreational marijuana use in November, it could create one of the nation's biggest legal pot markets. Bloomberg Intelligence says that could potentially unleash a five-state northeast block worth over $7 billion a year in sales. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about Boeing saying it settled 90% of wrongful death claims filed in a U.S. court over the 2018 crash of a 737 MAX.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Mahwah, New Jersey-based Ascena Retail Group's plans for bankruptcy and the closing of almost half of its 3,000 stores.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the Prime Minister telling Germany's leader Britain is still prepared to walk away with no post-Brexit trade.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Almost 90% of meat plant workers with coronavirus are minorities.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting developers of several Florida communities with the word plantation in their name say they don't plan to rename the communities.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Now some other stories we're following. The parent of mortgage giant Quicken Loans has filed for an IPO. Rocket Company says it's made a profit the last 3 years and describes itself as the largest retail mortgage lender in the U.S. Rocket was founded by billionaire Dan Gilbert, and many Americans plan to spend less than before the pandemic. More than 40% of adults tell a creditcards.com survey they will cut back on discretionary spending. A decrease could threaten to slow the economic recovery from the virus. It's 5:40 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now. It's the heist issue, including the empty frames that remain the art world's biggest mystery. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go, and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 45. NASDAQ futures higher by 7 points. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are slipping, and U.S. stock index futures have also turned lower as investors weigh the economic damage caused by the pandemic. S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 81, NASDAQ futures down 2, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.64%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 17 cents at $40.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.90 at $18.13.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1269 against the dollar. British pound 1.2513. And the yen is at 107.58. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, for the fourth straight day, U.S. COVID-19 infections topped 50,000. It comes as states and localities will determine how best to reopen schools in August or September. That was the topic at a White House roundtable discussion the president held to push to get back to classroom learning. President Trump says some are keeping schools closed not because of coronavirus risks, but for political reasons. President Trump's point man to North Korea says the U.S. administration is ready to resume stalled nuclear negotiations despite the North's repeated claims that it has no immediate intent for dialogue with Washington. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Stephen Biegun spoke to reporters following meetings with South Korean officials. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It is now 5:49 on Wall Street, and good morning. I'm John Tucker. It is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. We're joined live now by Andreas Kluth, Bloomberg Opinion columnist in Berlin, who this morning is writing about the impending fight over a coronavirus vaccine.
Andreas, good to talk to you again. Let's just assume there eventually will be a vaccine. Now, would it be produced in quantities sufficient to make sure that everyone can get it? That seems to be the crux of the issue here.
Well, there's two issues, but one of them is the one you just put your finger on, and the answer is no. There's no way that it could be produced in anywhere near the quantities we would need to get every, because this is a pandemic. We would need the world. So there's two questions. One is, will some countries, for instance, richer countries, or the country that succeeds in having the vaccine made in its borders, like the U.S. or China or Israel or whoever it is, will they sort of hog the vaccine, or will there be some multilateral arrangement whereby you share it to get it to the people who need it most? And then within each country, you have the same problem as who gets it. And everyone knows the healthcare workers need it, will get it first. But as soon as you're beyond that consensus, it's not at all clear. For instance, whether the elderly, there's reasons for and against, or pregnant women, or, and, you know, it gets very explosive. Should blacks or Latinos get it? Prisoners, who gets it exactly?
Yeah, maybe we got a little taste of this with the initial rounds of testing. That's when, you know, we saw well-to-do and celebrities being tested ahead of everybody else.
I think absolutely, and I'm not sure that, by the way, this is not just an American issue. This is literally every country in the world. And so I'm not sure the public would stand for this, and I think it's very, there's a lot of tension already in many places. This could lead to riots or even revolutions if you went the celebrity route again.
Now, does the experience that the world had in eradicating smallpox or other diseases, does that provide us with a roadmap?
I think it does. And the lesson, so 40 years ago, after years and decades of fighting smallpox, this terrible disease, the world actually eradicated it, and it was maybe the greatest, you know, healthcare achievement ever. And it did that at the height or during the Cold War. And of course, people say now we have a Cold War again, just between the U.S. and China. But even though there was a Cold War, there was a multilateral effort, and people, countries, including the Soviet Union and the U.S., worked together to eradicate it. And clearly, that is the way this should be done.
And now, of course, we're looking at country-centric rhetoric, America first, et cetera. So how does that play into things now?
It hurts. I mean, the two things in my column that I put, this is one of the problems, is this my country first, and it's not just the U.S., but it's China first or whatever, does not help, because we all have to figure this out together. The other issue that I just want to point to is that I think is the biggest of the many problems that we'll have, or the fights we'll have as soon as we get a vaccine. Already there is this rise of incredible spread of conspiracy theories that will lead to, even when it's available, many people refusing to get shots for all the wrong reasons. And the reason that is so important is because of, essentially, out of stupidity, we refuse to get shots. We will not get to herd immunity. And that's the point of any vaccine, is herd immunity, not individual immunity, herd immunity, so that actually the disease stops spreading.
It is kind of shocking how many wacky conspiracy theories do play in all this. Andreas, good to talk to you. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Great column this morning. A Bloomberg Opinion columnist, Andreas Kluth, joining us from Berlin. And you could read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion, and also on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The White House will not go public with details on public lands infrastructure projects being fast-tracked as a pandemic response. The projects were included in a June 4th executive order. The EPA denies claims by its biggest union that the agency is quietly changing the criteria for reopening offices during the pandemic to allow it to move faster from one phase to the next. Amazon, Penguin Random House, and a dozen authors are suing a Ukrainian website the plaintiffs describe as the biggest pirate book site in the world.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal news. Environmentalists are celebrating victories blocking three major pipelines. Just this week, courts shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline and refused permitting for the Keystone XL pipeline. And developers of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline chose to call it quits after years of legal delays. For more on the moves, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Pat Parento, a professor at the Vermont Law School.
Pat, this is the first time that a judge is forcing a major pipeline that's in service to shut down. So was this decision unexpected?
It was a big surprise. Judge Boasberg took into account the disruptive effect of stopping the oil flowing through the pipeline while an environmental impact statement is done, which will take, by the Corps' estimate, 13 months or more. But he said, you know, I really don't think I have a choice. I warned the Corps that they were proceeding in haste and not taking into account the threats to the water supply where the pipeline was going to go under the Missouri River and under Lake Oahe. Even though he had told the Corps exactly what they needed to do to fix the problems with their analysis, they didn't do it. The judge said, you didn't really leave me any option other than to shut you down.
So now at the same time, the Supreme Court has agreed to reinstate a fast-track water permitting program for pipelines across the country, except for the Keystone XL.
Yes, that's right. The Center for Biological Diversity and some tribes and some other environmental groups had sued, challenging the construction of Keystone under this nationwide permit. And that was the specific case that Judge Morris was deciding. But he went further and said because the nationwide permit itself is illegal, all of the construction that's relying on it should stop. And that's what the Supreme Court said. No, we're not going to enjoin all pipeline construction across the country, but the injunction against Keystone will stand for now.
And for the trifecta here, the Atlantic Coast Pipeline had just won a Supreme Court victory, but its developers are pulling the plug on it.
Yes. I mean, the cost of the pipeline are skyrocketing. The original estimate was something like $5 billion. It's now $8 billion. There are still three other injunctions against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline pending in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. So the developer finally just threw in the towel. And it's a real interesting point here that you mentioned, the trifecta, with these three huge decisions affecting major pipelines coming within days of each other, and all of them related to legal problems that, frankly, are a result of the Trump administration's determination to ramrod these projects through the law, and the federal courts are stopping them left and right.
And that's Vermont law professor Pat Parento speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And again, S&P futures are lower this morning, down 4 points. Dow futures down 58. And NASDAQ futures little change. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.64%. And the yield on the 2 years at 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 14 cents at $40.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.80 at $1,814.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1274 against the dollar. The yen 107.56. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.